Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking. Recognized as the best Pan-African bank for SMEs. For tailored solutions and deep sector expertise, search Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking today.
Now, you'll be well aware that South Africa's stock market has broken through the symbolic 100,000-point mark. It's a milestone that is suggesting investor optimism. But I think dig a little deeper and the picture is probably a lot more complex. Political fragmentation, policy drift and weak reform delivery under the government of national unity are maybe clouding the bigger outlook. Add to that the Reserve Bank's possible move to lower its inflation target, a weakening consumer base and global tariff tensions, and local investors, I think, are left juggling both opportunity and uncertainty. So I want to discuss a little bit that intersection of policy, politics and performance with Jason Swartz, who is portfolio manager at the Old Mutual Investment Group. Jason, a very warm welcome, and it's kind of an interesting place that we find ourselves in at the moment. And I want to start with the big headline, that 100,000-point mark. Real optimism, in your opinion, or maybe just global commodity momentum, which is, as I suggested, maybe masking deeper weaknesses?
Thanks, Jeremy. I think there's obviously a lot of optimism globally. I think risk appetite is strong because there's trade deal optimism. And I think locally, you know, we've had strong gold prices, we've had PGM prices increase, and so you've got lots of earnings upgrades from a small segment of the equity market, which is now a much bigger part, you know, in terms of the ALSI index. So I think, you know, a huge amount of optimism around, you know, I think precious metal prices and just global risk appetite, which I think then, you know, if you take it down to the bottom layer around, you know, what the actual fundamentals of policy is, you know, I think the market has been, you know, very aggressive in, you know, being very optimistic over the next 12 months.
Well, let's talk a little bit about policy. Old Mutual flagging that the SARB's plan to lower the inflation target is an interesting one. In a sluggish economy, though, is this brave policy or could the timing come and bite us you know where?
I do think that the timing is very important. There's no question that, you know, from a theoretical perspective, that a low inflation target over the long term, you know, makes a lot of sense in terms of policy, you know, getting our debt down, making sure rates are lower, and just being more competitive with emerging markets. But I do suspect that, you know, the SARB's assumptions around, you know, what happens with inflation and how the market just behaves, you know, in terms of inflation expectations, you know, could also be optimistic. Our growth is fairly fragile. I think we'd be lucky to get 1% GDP growth this year. And, you know, with that in mind and, you know, having to have interest rates higher for longer or not being able to cut, you know, I think that really puts us in a strange predicament over the next year or two that could, you know, very challenging from a consumer perspective. So those are some of the concerns that we mentioned in the short term. The long term, you know, the ideal is great. It's just how that gets implemented.
Well, let's talk about some of the concerns then. Tighter monetary conditions, what do they mean for growth, access to credit, and maybe broader investment or investor sentiment over the next 12 to 18 months?
I think they're all negative, you know, unfortunately. You know, our consumers are not in a great space from a discretionary spending perspective. And, you know, higher interest rates just inhibits spending, it inhibits credit growth, it inhibits investment. So, you know, what a lot of people are pushing for is that, you know, the SARB needs to be, you know, a little bit more dovish around their view around interest rates. And, you know, their argument is that this is the perfect time to be lowering the inflation target because inflation is fairly low. But I think there's underlying inflation, you know, pressure that's, you know, that might come through either the currency or oil markets or administered prices. But the reality is that, you know, we probably need to cut interest rates. Interest rates at these levels versus inflation are very high. And that does restrict economic growth, you know, at least in the short term, which I think is going to be a challenge.
Old Mutual also mentions that structurally lower bond yields could boost valuations, all well and good. But that's not realistic unless we have more meaningful reform, surely.
Yes, and I think that's the other conundrum around this is that, you know, you need to coordinate this with strong reform. If you just have a kind of lower cost of capital, but your real growth as it feeds through in terms of confidence and investment and capex, you know, if those aren't being focused on, and practical things like, you know, some of the, you know, logistics challenges that we have around Transnet, energy availability, you know, I think those are still things that need some time, and just, you know, you need investor participation in terms of that. And so you can't have a policy change in terms of monetary policy, but then actual practical, you know, reform, growth enhancing reforms, you know, with such a slow inertia, the two just don't go hand in hand, in our view.
Well, let me pick you up on that word reforms then. How damaging do you think is the current drift and lack of, for want of a better phrase, policy cohesion under the GNU for market performance right now?
I think the challenge with the GNU is that a lot of the political parties, the cohesion is poor. So, you know, a lot of them are, you know, they're prioritizing political positioning and their own little agendas in ministries that they are accountable to. You know, maybe we were optimistic around, you know, how the GNU was going to work, but there certainly are small wins if you think about what's happening on the infrastructure side, electricity, transport, even finance ministries. But, you know, I think the ministries need to compete less against each other and work more together. As I mentioned, you know, if the amount of drag that has caused South Africa's GDP in terms of what's happened at Transnet the last couple of years is enormous, as well as the cost of energy availability. So, yeah, I think the GNU is certainly, I think people are patting themselves on the back that we've been able to get through all these budgets, but I think there's a lot of work that still needs to be done in quite a small window for that to happen.
Let's reflect on you and I and South African consumers. I've just been reading the latest money stress tracker report from Debt Busters, and this is the one that worries me. Nearly half of respondents are now spending more than 40% of their after-tax income just to service debt, and that is very worrying. And in that respect, we also know that domestic-facing sectors, and particularly retailers, are taking a lot of pain at the moment. What is that telling us about the current consumer environment right now?
Yes, I think it says that the consumer is fairly fragile. You know, we last year there was a thesis around interest rate cutting cycle, two-pot, that, you know, consumers were able to take these additional discretionary spending and pay off debt. But, you know, I think the outlook in terms of monetary policy, you know, over the next 12 months is not as optimistic. And consumers are going to find a way, are going to have to find a way just to tighten their belts. You know, it's unlikely that we're going to see any major relief to consumption. Some of the macro data is decent in terms of retail sales and car sales, but I think on the ground, you know, if you really dig deep, I think there is quite a lot of strain. And that's where I think, you know, we need to have some support from a consumption perspective.
Jason, just a quick one in conclusion. If you had to pick one policy move, just one, that would improve market confidence right now, what would it be?
I think Transnet is probably the biggest lever. So to really deregulate that market in terms of private participation, make it easy for corporates, you know, to get involved and participate in some of those sections of that logistics corridor, I think that would be the biggest driver of growth. And that would be a big win from a structural reform perspective. And I think that's where the priority needs to be.
Good talking to you. That's Jason Swartz, Portfolio Manager at the Old Mutual Investment Group. I appreciate your time.
Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, delivering expert support and tailored solutions to help your business grow with confidence, clarity, and resilience.